Code number NA03-44. Copyright 2003. All rights reserved. The Narcotics Anonymous World Services Incorporated presents A Simple Way is Providing Itself in Latin America, with Dora D. from Brazil, Fernando M. from Peru, and Andres T. from Mexico. Recorded live at the 30th World Convention of Narcotics Anonymous, held July 3rd through 6, 2003, in San Diego, California. Now let's begin this informative session.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Dora, and I'm an addict. Oh, yeah. And a very, very grateful addict to be here sharing my recovery with you at this special event, and a very nervous addict too. But I'm praying to God that he'll help me out to get through this without having a seizure. And when I knew for a fact, I realized that I was going to be able to be here for the 50th anniversary of NA being celebrated at the World Convention, when I did my accounting and I realized I would be able to make it, I had a sense of accomplishment, like something is right. It felt right to come over and to be here in San Diego, because my feelings toward this fellowship are the feelings of a daughter, you know? I feel the fellowship like a mother. And it would seem to me that I was going to the big birthday party of my mother, the mother that gave me a new life, gave me birth to a new life, that has nurtured me, that has oriented me, that has supported me all these years. And I didn't want to miss this gratitude moment of being here. So I was really happy. But when the invitation came to share at this event, I almost went into a coma. I said no. And you know something? I think it is the addict's mind, because it almost set me back to the I don't deserve thing. I said, why should I? I mean, who am I? I don't deserve this. And then I said, well, this is not about me. This is about sharing how recovery is effective all over the world. And our simple recovery program works for no matter who, no matter where, no matter when, as long as you want it. And I could do that. I could share that, because I am from Brazil, and I have some particulars that belong to me. And then it got a little bit better. Today, when I woke up, I was already very nervous, so I made some notes. But I want to start talking about, saying a little bit about my life, my recovery. I got into the rooms of NA in 1986. And I come from the city of Rio de Janeiro. And at that time there, there was only one NA meeting a week. So we were very few. There were about six, seven guys around. Most of them had a couple of months clean time. And there was this one guy who had a whole year, full year clean. And you know something? I looked at him and I suspected he wasn't an addict. I said, 1 year clean without interruptions? I couldn't make it, so why could he? And but I had the good sense, or the God-oriented sense, to ask him to sponsor me. And he was a lovely sponsor for many years. He's still around, he's still doing group service, and I'm always very grateful to him. He did a wonderful job of giving me love and being patient with me when I was so crazy. And that took a few years, you know, just wanting to know and this and that. Wow. And, at that time, with just one meeting a week, we had to make our recovery supported by AA. We had to go to AA to get the rest of the week done, or else we wouldn't recover. And there was this particular group of AA that welcomed us drug addicts very well. They took us in. And without saying anything to each other, we went to the same meeting, every day to the same meeting at the same time. The group had meetings all day long, but we all stuck together, you know, like attraction, and went to the same meeting, and then after the meeting, we went for coffee. We stuck together. We were survivors. And no matter what the difference, that's something I discovered further up the line, that when you are a survivor, when you feel like a survivor, we are all survivors, of course, but when you feel like one, when you feel that this is your last shot, survival is the big unity. Survival itself. It makes no difference what the differences are, as long as survival unifies you. And that did it for us. We stuck together, and we went along. There was no literature at that time. Recovery had to be simple. all we had then is what we have now. I mean, today we have the whole set of literature in our own language. But the greatest thing we had then is what we have now, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. That's what put us, you know, made us survive. And, well, I'm not speaking the truth. There was one piece of literature when I got there. There was this little baby blue booklet, which to us would mean the same as the little white booklet to most, because it was our first literature, our only literature for a long time. And it had pieces of the basic texts. It had pieces of other fellowship items, I mean, literature items, and had some good advice from I don't know where. And in the back cover, it said courtesy of the Xerox Company of Brazil. We didn't have a clue about the traditions. We didn't have a clue. And, well, anything that would help us get through another day without using was welcome. We needed that. That little baby blue booklet is very dear to me, although it breaks everything that you can imagine. But I keep it in the drawer. It has a special place there. Well, after that, we started growing. The group started growing. We saw that we needed to have more than one meeting, and we did. And recovery started, you know, it's ongoing process. But recovery is not always a piece of cake, and you all know that. Life, in its own terms, has setbacks and has losses. And a few years back, I lost my son to the disease of addiction, and it was very painful, very painful. And by then, I have been sponsored by a wonderful, marvelous lady who has been sponsoring me for almost 10 years now. And she put me in touch with her sponsor who has gone through the same experience. And that helped a lot. Between NA and a loving God of my understanding, I walked through this pain one step at a time. And I don't think of, you know something, I didn't think of using. I don't think there is enough drugs in the whole wide world that would take care of such pain. So it didn't occur to me to use. I prayed a lot. I prayed a lot. But you know, I prayed that this loving God wouldn't let me break up with him. Because that's where the danger was, to hold a grudge. And I knew that if I enter into that, I would enter into hell. So I prayed a lot. Don't let me do it. Don't let me do it. Don't let me do it. And then all of a sudden I had a, you know, a special place in my heart where everything is, and it's a loving place. It's a loving place. It's a peaceful place. It's a hurtful place, but it's full of love. It's filled with love. And the other side of the coin is that last February, I handed a 13-year clean NA medallion to my daughter, and she's my best friend. She's a wonderful, wonderful lady, a wonderful woman, and this special meeting, this particular meeting was very special to us. We said lots of things to each other, and we realized that we went from a love and hate relationship to a loving relationship, love and respect. That's what we have for each other, and I have a great friendship for her. She's my best friend. Those are the gifts of recovery to me. When I got here, is it time? When I got here in San Diego, at the hotel, there was this guy with a T-shirt, wearing a T-shirt. And I pay a lot of attention to T-shirts, and I guess most addicts do. I mean, we like T-shirts, don't we? And I was trying to read what it said in the back of his T-shirt, and it said something I knew of, but I had never seen it that way. And it said, if I can, you can. If I can't, we can. It's as simple as that. I said, that's the whole program is there, in that T-shirt. And then I saw the theme of the convention, of the anniversary, and I said, that's it. That's it. This T-shirt should be, you know, like a flag, a banner, because that's the whole program to me. Getting back to my recovery, when I got clean, I was 43 years old. So, as I said, there were differences. I was the only woman around. All the guys, they were much younger. And thank God that changed. I've been to the conventions, all the conventions. I love conventions. And I've been to the conventions, and we are hundreds and hundreds now. And there are so many women of all ages, of all races. So you can get into the fellowship and identify yourself right away. I mean, there will be someone like you. There will be some story that is exactly like yours. And I always look at that and I said, great, this is great. This is getting better all the time. And but at that time, it had the good part of this, of being so very few, and the good part. There is the bad part and the good part. The bad part is that some of my issues I couldn't relate. The issues of a mother, the issues of a woman. And then there is the good part, because we never had a fight. We couldn't afford to. We couldn't afford even to disagree among us. We had to stick together. And even up to today, we love each other. When we see from that group of people, there is still three or four around. We see each other from time to time at the conventions, at some event and all that. And when we see each other, it's like lamps. We light up. Oh, are you there? You were there for me. That's the most. You know what made me come back, keep coming back, is in my second meeting, the second meeting that I went to, there was this big guy, and he's also around. There was this big guy. He had one week clean time, which was a lot, of course. And he gave me this big hug, huge hug. And there was joy in his eyes. And he said, oh, I'm so glad that you came back to the meeting. And I hadn't heard that for years. It had been years since someone said that to me. Nice to meet you? Yes. Glad to see you again? No way. So here there was a place and there was a person. There were people that were glad to see me no matter what. I mean, they just welcomed me. And that got me. That planted the seed of love that has been going on and stays with me up to today. And it is only the feeling of gratitude that brings me here and share with you this little piece of recovery. And thank you so much for being there for me, N.A. and you. N.A., you. Whenever I needed, you were there. Thank you for letting me share.
Arbe. Para español. Para el español. Ahora al inglés que diga. Van a hablar español ahora. Thank you, Dora.
At this time, I would like to introduce our next speaker, Fernando.
Ahora vamos a presentar al próximo speaker.
Hola, familia. Mi nombre es Fernando. Soy un adicto.
Hello, family. My name is Fernando. I'm an addict. Thank you to all for being here. Please excuse me for being late. Really, I'm here by the grace of God. And this is literal because I had a problem at lunch time to be here at this meeting.
Equivocada.
And I was in the bus. And I was feeling very sad because I was making the addict. And we got to the convention center. And I didn't know how to get to this room. So I got to the information desk. And I was told them that I was looking for the room.
98. After 5 minutes, I realized it was room 28, and they told me how to get here. Thanks God I'm here, we're all together with you, to thank God and Narcotics Anonymous to give me a new way of life. My problems to get here didn't start here. It started when I got into a plane in Lima. I was carrying with some fellow addicts. We had some delays on the flight, but when we were on the plane and the plane lift off, we say, finally, we're on the way. And later on, a couple of minutes, the cockpit got full of smoke. And it was a funny smell. I start feeling dizzy. And everybody started looking, nobody was saying anything. And suddenly we hear an alarm. And it wasn't stopping, that alarm. So I started getting really nervous. And the tripulation starting to move around and showing that something was going on. I saw in front of me there were the escape gates were. So the stewardess said to the people who were in that aisle to move. In that moment I started to pray. Because I told you that I was a lot of fear, the captain started talking. There was a possibility to have an emergency landing and to be aware of the guides of the tripulations. I was seeing San Diego every time farther away, but thanks God, they decided to go back to Lima, and half an hour we're back. There was no need to have a forced landing, and a couple of hours later we get off, and thanks God. And this experience, it makes me feel grateful, because in that moment it was a moment of crisis, a moment of fear. I thought in my family. I also thought about how I'm going to react when the airplane hit the sea. You will understand all my lines of thoughts. But in the back of me, there was a feeling of quietness and serenity in the middle of the storm. And I owe that to my relationship that I've been developing with my God, with the one I believe, the one that I found in Narcotics Anonymous, and who God gave me that direction in my life to know that in my way, there's a lot of things that are going to happen, but the conviction that I'm in the right path gives me relief. My story with Narcotics Anonymous started in 1992 when I get to my very first meeting, the 20th of April, a Monday, after a 3 or 4 day run, and no, being in jail. And I heard the message of what my home group, it was a fall of love, who gave me a lot of tranquility, that I wasn't the only one who had a problem, that the problems I had at that moment. And my recovery started in a meeting, in one of the only two meetings in Lima. There was only two meetings working in Lima at the time. And there was a meeting with people with some clean time. They were active in service, and they invite me and they cheer me to participate beside my regular meeting attendance. And for me that was very important, because it connected me strongly to the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a person that by nature very shy, that I'm very afraid of other people. I was not going to take any initiative to get to know nobody. I didn't do that. But the people of my group got closer to me with love and gave me that ability to participate, because I felt welcome in a place that I was listening, that had a lot of people sharing things that I had in common with me. It wasn't difficult for me to belong to my home group there. And that time in 1992 in Peru, that the terrorism It was in the most critical part of terrorism. It was a moment on where the country, when you get out in the streets to work or to do whatever you need to do, and you didn't know if you were coming back home, because bombs were blowing up all over the place. And I was afraid, and I was very anxiety because of my job. My job is to be on the street. So where was a lot of people, multitudes, I thought that that was a good place to put a bomb, you know. Like it really happened once in a while. In residential houses, they have put bombs in cars, and it was a very difficult place. One of those effects, what happened as a consequence of that, we had power cutoffs. And our meeting at night, and sometimes when I got there, the meeting we made it with candles because we have any electricity. And all of that, and it gave us an atmosphere so different. And we were in the meeting, sharing and listening to Sharon suddenly, and a bomb will hear close or late, and we will hear the sirens of the ambulances and the police. So for me, to be inside of a meeting, sharing about my feelings, listen to another addicts, sharing about the difficulties that they were going through, and the achievements that they have done, they were doing, getting, and today I can see that it was very important for me. Because I was seeing that the people, instead of, on top of the difficulties on the country with the terrorism, with the economic problems, the people were coming anyway to the meetings with a lot of energy. We were organizing another meetings. So life was keep moving on. Even though in the head I have a lie that my life was going to be bored when drugs stopped, I was realizing that in the other, on the other hand, my spirit that was totally dry, dead and sleep for so many years, it was starting to wake up. And things that had always been in my life, I never realized them. And I started to see them. There was good things and nice things. So that put a like foundation very strong in my recovery. And I started to participate in service from an early stage in recovery, because there always was a movement very interesting against with service. And I remember when I was new in that time, there was a lot of dynamic in to try to help another addicts. So we'll go to the jails, to the hospitals. And I remember particular experiences in the jail of Lima. I don't know if it's the most important, but it's the one with more conflicts. And it has capacity for 1,500 people. There's 8,000 people living there, so it's overpopulated. It's a heavy atmosphere. So the first time I went to see somebody there, I went with the members of Narcotics Anonymous. So I was full of fear to get in. You had to do a line, like two or three lines, to suffer all the searching, and all of that, for the where I'm coming from. And when we got in, we had to go through a long way, pretty long, and it was dark, and you see people, and in the way, and we saw people selling drugs inside. There were people using drugs. And there were people very scary. And people came with me, let's say, move it, we gotta go to the meeting. And every time I moved forward, that I couldn't breathe, I was afraid. Until the end, I saw a door, a black door, ugly door. And behind the door, I saw something very familiar. I saw the symbol of Narcotics Anonymous in that door. It was like my soul got back in my body. That was the experience that I had. I was going through hell, and I was almost getting to my home. It was very emotional. When I got to the meeting, there was 10 or 12 attending to that meeting from the jail. And what I felt in that meeting was incredible. I cannot describe, but I know that you understand what I'm talking about. And I believe that that's one of the things that I decided to stay in Narcotics Anonymous. I never heard nobody about their own feelings with so much honesty and with happiness too, in a jail, and a jail like that. I got a message very powerful, and I start to feel everything that you feel too, is the gratitude and the proud to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I kept coming back and I got more involved in the service activities. I got a sponsor. When I got there, in that time, there was not too much experience in sponsorship in our fellowship. There were very few people who had a sponsor, but we had a convention. We had a privilege to make the first Latino Americana convention. And one of the topics, it was sponsorship. And they told me that I chair that meeting. I had a year and a half clean, and I didn't have a sponsor. I was doing what I can with the program. But one of the speakers in that meeting, they said, whoever doesn't have a sponsor has a fool has a sponsee. And I kept that. But I didn't get out of there running to get a sponsor. But I just seeded the message. And it took me more time to surrender to the idea that I need a sponsor and to start working more responsible this program. The reality was I was clean, but I wasn't enjoying life. And I was trying to learn between the difference between abstinence and recovery. I got a sponsor, I started working the steps in a formal way, more dedicated, and I started to find a lot of answers in my life, a lot of questions that I was carrying along my life. I was able to get answers on those more softly than I would thought so. I had the ability to speak with my mother back. I started understanding my childhood about my father. So like this puzzle started to get in place to show an image. It was a little blur, that image, but that was giving me a sensation of that this wasn't the right way. With the time pass, I started sponsoring other people. And the things that I had done, not in the problems that I got into, that I started sponsoring women. Okay, don't kill me. I know what you're all thinking. But maybe because you have the same experience. What's the experience that I learned a lot? Like you understand, I made a lot of mistakes. And I really messed up some relationship with some persons that it was not necessary to do. But I had to go through that experience to learn. There's been a time that now I decided no sponsor any more women. Because at least in my own personal case, I can live my recovery with more tranquility, keeping things in perspective and in order. So I am more active in service. I'm very involved in the point of, I'm like a service junkie. And that too, in that moment, brought me a lot of benefits, spirituals. But I crossed a line, you know, with the service. And in a moment, I was having problems with my house, with my wife. I was having problems with every relationship around me because I was not taking care of my necessities. And I really, I was escaping through service. I was hiding so I will not face my responsibility. But thanks God, life goes faster. And that makes me feel the necessity that the growth that I get in recovery never is because of the wish of growth. It's been because of the pain, it's because of the, it's the thing that I have to do and a new change in my life. And I have taken the decision to, and it have taken me some time in this process, but thanks God, I have able to make it. And I feel like I'm living another stage in recovery. My role inside of the fellowship is changing. I'm not the first in the first cover of the newspaper, and I don't want to be there. I want to be on the side and help in a more anonymous way. When they share me, ask me to speak, I go and speak, or I'm worried about stuff and I sponsor people. But my relationship with the service is very tight, and you taught me from the very beginning that the service is a part of recovery. It's not a parallel road to recovery. It's an essential part of recovery. It's the way that I can work directly with my self-centeredness that all my life has been chasing me and hurt me and has hurt somebody else in that process. In my fellowship in Peru, like you understand, and like any family, we have good families. We have our own problems, our own disagreements, our conflicts. But with the time, we've been learning about our own mistakes and our own problems. And we're going through it and we're getting forward. In September, we're going to have an activity in... We're going to have a workshop worldwide for Latin America. In the middle of September, we're going to have in Peru, so you're all invited. You're going to be welcomed with open arms. In Peru, like in every part in Latin America, we have a strong love. And more than one, you have felt it if you have the opportunity to come south to our conventions, our communities, and South America. We have a lot of love to give. In middle of our difficulties, not our NA communities, but our continent, our countries, our economies, our political situations and socials, Narcotics Anonymous is winning and earning a place inside of society through a lot of addicts like me and you, like all of us, can find the privilege and the gift of a new way of life. Truthfully, a common problem in Peru, like in other countries in South America, is money. I always try to carry the message, like in my personal life. If I have a problem in my life and I say, I don't have money, and the situation is difficult, I'm going to be in the same. I'm not going to get money only by whining. In our meetings in our region, we need to find ways to get that money inside of our principles. And this is a barrier sometimes high that we need to go through. We need to promote the talking about through 70 tradition and the experiences that we see in other regions around the world. That message is for all of us. Sometimes I heard somebody that there's no poverty. It's not that we're poor. We have a poor mind, and that makes us stay on the problem, in the emptiness, in the poverty. And in NA, we're trying to learn to live in the solution. I have found that in NA, there is a solution to my life that is not easy and it's not quick, but there is a solution, and that's the most important thing. And that's what I want to share with all of you. I love you all. thank you for hearing me, and have 24 hours. No, es mil veces, muchas veces. Es diferente. Y tienes que aprender en los grupos. ¿Sabes cómo? Tienes que...
Thank you. Gracias, Fernando.
Thank you, Fernando. I would like to invite another speaker from Mexico. Hello, good afternoon. My name is Andres. I'm an addict. The truth is that, well,
when somebody is invited to these events, we're not unexpected. They're gift. And I don't know what to say, and you plan what you want to say, and the reality is that when you start sharing with the others who shared before, and in the workshops and the convention, you start getting things in your mind. I don't know if the disease grows or stops growing. The last thing that I thought is thought. In some familiar faces that today are not here, my fellow brothers in recovery who have died of the disease of addiction, and some of you are thinking about of them in this convention. This convention is dedicated to the addict who still suffers. We dedicate this convention the way we can transmit the new message and the value that it has, that an addict helping another. But I was thinking in my meeting from my heart how I was able to promote the wish that I got, and I was able to maintain to stop using drugs. That is the reason because I'm here. And I have been turned around, and I feel that I don't deserve. I've seen a fellowship who has grown all meanings, and I don't have too much clean time. I remember a guy in recovery. In the place where I found NA, he died 2 months ago, and he died from this disease. And I asked myself, what have I done there? And what I have done to share with you? It was 20 years of using actively. I have 9 years clean. Or was the desire to stop using? And the reality is that something has been built beside my persons, that the God of hand has been able to make some construction to have that desire to help others. I know that the story of Latin American NA in Mexico, in this case, has been the story of the construction of those circumstances, like me individually, I can do to put this close to somebody, not the program, but the desire. The opportunity to have the desire of stop using gives me the possibility to reach anything else, that with the sponsor, with the program, with no program, with the anger, with no sponsor. I am very grateful today because I'm able to be at service of you and of my family, but especially to you through the day of to share. It's a place difficult. You walk through this monster convention center and you take opportunities in some moments, and to have the opportunity to be in recovery, being here the 50 years of Narcotics Anonymous is a big opportunity, it's a big privilege. Some of my brothers cannot come here.
This concludes side one. Please turn the tape over for a continuation of the presentation.
And then you cannot get the visa. And you're Mexican? Yeah, come in. No. Yeah, come on, welcome. Just walk 50 kilometers through the desert. Easy. Is everything difficult to get here? It's a big responsibility and it's a big achievement to get here. And when we get to that commitment to change, to come back and share in the meetings, and to go back into your meetings, not only when you're doing things wrong or when you want God to take away your pain. Because I hear that in my country, that is like who feels worse, and we are competing with each other who feels worse and who has worse accidents in our lives. But we gotta go back and share the good feelings and the gratefulness, the gratitude. And I am sharing situations that I thought they were all over. I'm very grateful with God. And that gives me another commitment. And how I'm going to balance this? I don't want the service to get the service is power, prestige, to look good. I don't want the service to get in the middle of my family. I want to service to get to a way to help people to get the desire to stop using. If somebody doesn't have the desire, give a hug to somebody who has the desire. That's a good principle. I have some done. I am a little nervous. Oh, I feel a little, and I have some tears, and I feel sad. The feel, to be able to feel. Because naturally in me, it was like to be shut off. And my face long, like a shark. And today I can feel. I remember that it was in very crazy things. When I had 4 years clean, or 3 years clean, I went to my first world conference, like delegate in Mexico. And today we have a nice book, it's called Concept, that teaches us more stuff. When I started seeing things how they were, I believed that in service, you get like a saint aura. The steps, it was the means to get recovery, but the service, it was the way to get to be a saint. But I was forgetting. I don't want the people think that I've been judging people hard, but maybe that's your problem. But there's a lot of sickness. And they didn't get along, and they couldn't agree. I couldn't speak to start with. They were speaking English. I never practiced English. I wonder, instead of being in the conference, I wanted to go to the mall and shop, and I have my sponsor beside me. And you got to understand and pay attention. But I start growing, and the desire to start serving. And we're going to have the Latin American conference. It's like the Latin American forum. And we're preparing the second part of the basic text in Spanish. Don't stop bothering us. That please push us to finish our personal stories, the quicker help us to finish our basic text in Spanish. There's in hands of some dummies, and the reality is, and it's a commitment, we need to finish it. Because in these meetings, I can use these kind of meetings to renew my commitment. This is through identification. So the more tough, the more that is in denial. With the help of God, I can help him to stop using. I'm growing a little bit. It's through identifying with you guys and with the big help of you guys that I'm staying alive. I remember the people who were asking, I have to come every day, every week. It's not better to go to the psychiatrist, maybe to get a pill. It wouldn't be better than to have a bath of mezcal. I don't know what is the best thing for you. And anybody does their own way. I have found some ways, and definitely is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not the best who practice them. I hear some better champions at it. And you have taught me. And he has a face, so he doesn't need to do any amends. And I'm still so envious. But the reality is, you all make me very happy. Generally, I'm able to enjoy a meeting in the other side of the bay. There's three big ships in the bay there. If you see with your eyes, it looks big. If you behave wrong, they have the warships there. But in this side of the bay is the higher power, like however you understand him, and it's more powerful. It can cause more changes in this world. What we do here, what you do in those very big ships, warships, and tanks. The message of Narcotics Anonymous, as I want to understand, is a message of peace. It's a message of for all cultures in the world. It's a message who has a vision that any addict in any part of the world can recover, and their own culture can develop their own recovery. For me, that I have the privilege that I can do some service in Narcotics Anonymous. I chair the meeting in my Sundays. This is a big opportunity. I don't know, guys. When we talk about the meetings in Spanish, the meetings in Mexico City, there's 18 million people in Mexico. There's 35 meetings of narcotics. I don't know how many addicts are. It's not too well proportioned. there's more people recovering in English than we recover in Spanish. And it's nobody's fault, and nobody's fault. And nobody's to blame for somebody else's defeat. But we all have the responsibility to serve, to generate that place where anybody who speaks our language, the possibility to stop using and recover. I gotta be grateful to the people who speaks in English and who has taught us this message and have made big efforts to translate the message and take it all over the world. Nevertheless, like all of this, these invitations to share with you guys, that's a big service, implies the responsibility from those achievements. Next time that we get together, I wish that this room is full. I won't speak more and so much. And there's more people with the desire to stop using, that no addict had to die because of the active addiction horrors. And I thank you from my heart. Thank you for letting me share.